Welcome to worship on this Trinity Sunday. My name is Gillian McLean and I'm the minister here at the Scotskirk in Lausanne. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that we generally celebrate communion on the first Sunday of each month. And so you will have your bread and wine or juice handy. You should also have a copy of the psalm for reading together and the words of the hymn so that you can join in. If you're joining us for the first time, you're very welcome and you just have time to grab a Bible for the opening psalm. And there will be a moment later on when you can fetch some wine or juice or even water and some bread or a cracker or oat cake to join with us in our communion service. We begin by reading together Psalm 8 and we'll read it verse about. You'll see from your printout that we begin together. Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our opening hymn is a setting of that psalm, of Psalm 8, the psalm we've just read together. It was arranged by John Bell of the Iona community using a Scottish folk melody called Tramps and Hawkers. And it's hymn number 5 in the hymn book, O Lord, our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, throughout the earth, how glorious is your name. And glorious too where unseen heavens your majesty proclaim. On infant lips, in children's song, a strong defence you raise to counter enemy and threat and foil the rebel's ways. Come to God now in our opening prayer. Let us pray. Loving Creator, Inspirer and Truth Giver, you for whom we wait, unknown, unheard, invisible, having 1,000 names and none, reach towards us this day as we reach out for you and be known in that meeting, heard in the stillness, seen in the mist and the darkness, and named fleetingly. And then enable us to let go again of the knowing, the hearing, the glimpsing, and the naming. Content to be poor in spirit and to travel light, emptied of all that clasps us to the earth, emptied of the need to restrain you or define you, seeking always to be attentive to you in the present moment, where you are lively and new and always surprising. Creator, inspirer and disturber, our God in Trinity, the three in one, we worship you. Amen. And now a word to the children. How can three things be the same and yet different? Last week we heard about the day that the Spirit came to earth. We heard that it was Jesus' Spirit, and it's often called the Helper because that was what Jesus intended. He knew he had to go back to heaven, and so he wanted to leave behind some part of himself that could help his disciples. And we have that Spirit now in our lives. Today, we're thinking about how on earth that works. How can we have God the Father, the Creator, Jesus' Son, and now this Holy Spirit? And yet, they are all God. Lots of people say that's impossible, but I don't think so. It works. Here is something that can be three things and one at the same time. Now, I want you to listen carefully to three sounds and try and guess what they are. Here's the first one. Okay, have you guessed? Here's the second one. And lastly, the third one. Any idea what those three things were? Well, the first one was water being poured out of a jug into a glass. And the second one was the kettle boiling and lots of steam coming out the top of the kettle. And the third one was some ice, some lovely big ice cubes being tossed around in a glass. All of these things are the same thing. It's water. When we cool it down, it can become ice. When we heat it up, it can become steam. Or we can turn on the tap and it's water. It doesn't change, but it is different. That's what happens with God. God can be three things: Creator, Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit, but still God at the same time. So let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our next hymn is also one that was written and arranged by members of the Iona community. The words by Cathy Galloway, the tune by Ian Galloway, and the whole thing put together and arranged by John Bell. And it's number 141 in the hymn book, The Life of the World. The last verse reads, "So give thanks for the life, and give love to the Maker, and rejoice in the gift of the bright risen sun, and walk in the peace and the power of the Spirit, till the days of our living are done." Thank you. now we come to our readings, and James is going to read for us.
The first reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Listen now for God's word to you. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
A prayer of confession. Please join me. God of life, grant us your forgiveness for those times when we have acted as if we were alone, as if we were not part of a community bound together by love and commonality. Forgive us when we have been heedless in our thoughts, thoughtless in our words, or shameful in our actions. Forgive us our indifference to a world made sad by want and wastefulness. Forgive us when we pass by our neighbour on the other side, when we wander from the way that leads to peace and follow paths of our own making. God of life, Creator, Son and Spirit, forgive us and help us to begin again. God of today, God of yesterday and God of all our tomorrows, you created us, put us together so beautifully, and you have brought us to you again through the gift of your Son's life. So this day, as you scatter the mist from the mountains, banish the dark thoughts and deeds of your children, and help us to know and believe that as your people, we are set free to begin again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There has been a trend in these last difficult days, weeks and now months, for people to begin to name each day some things to celebrate. It's a good exercise and reminds us that even in dark times, there are many people worse off than we are. But that doesn't deny the fact that life is quite difficult at the moment, that there are a number of things that make our lives more complicated than we would like. Last week we celebrated meeting again on the day when we acknowledge the gift of the Spirit. We can celebrate too that despite all of the isolation of the last 3 months, we've largely been able to keep in touch with each other. And still today, those who can't be here are able to join us in different ways, either electronically or on paper. It is truly wonderful to have all these ways of communicating at our fingertips, but it's my fervent hope that we never become exclusively a virtual or online church. Why is it important for us to meet together? Well, it's as important for us to see each other physically from time to time as it is for me to be able to see my family physically from time to time. And for me, that date remains a mystery, but something I hope will not be too long away. It's important because we're a community, a family, a supportive network, and that is so much more difficult when we can't meet together in person. The sheer joy of seeing each other is something that we all look forward to. We look forward to sharing each other's good news and good times, just as we want to be there for those who are suffering in any way, going through a bad time. Church is about family and community and the glue that holds us all together. And that's totally liturgically sound. It's Trinity Sunday, the day when I get to tell you all about the very complex doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity described for us in the creeds and that tells us God is one, but also three. Creator, Son and Spirit. So God is a family in himself. He is a community. We were talking the other week about mystery as a real part of our life of faith, and in this doctrine we have something that makes a stab at explaining one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith. How can God be Father, Son and Spirit, a great and wonderful omnipotent creator, the more personal, accessible Jesus of history, and also a spirit unseen as the wind and part of our very breath? How can that be? Three persons and yet one God. Now, not all parts of the church agree on how this might be explained. You won't be surprised to hear that. And that's one of the reasons we have so many denominations and one of the reasons why the Church of Scotland was my choice. We in this church, for the moment, have liberty of opinion on anything that doesn't enter into the substance of the faith. In other words, we can work things out together in the light of our life and our experience of faith. And we might end up thinking differently from the person sitting next to us, but that doesn't mean that we can't worship together, agreeing to differ. So then, let's take this apart a bit and try to get to grips with the idea of the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We could take a vote and see just how many heretics we have in the congregation. In past times, if you didn't agree on matters of doctrine, terrible things could happen to you. For today, though, we will have a free vote, and no one will be burnt, beheaded, disemboweled, imprisoned, or excommunicated. Okay, God first. The three great religions of the world believe in one God, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. God is the ruler, the creator, the master potter who shaped us all out of clay. But in Judaism and Islam, he's the God of the Old Testament. And you can find God endorsing all sorts of terrible things in the Hebrew scriptures. Wars, murder, rape, it's all there. The concept of the holy war, the old eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth sort of a God. Well, of course I believe in justice, but I also believe in compassion. And that kind of God is not the sort of God that I want to spend eternity with. Now, the Old Testament and even the Quran can teach us a lot about many things: faith, justice, loyalty, truth. But we must also keep in the back of our minds that these books are also the history of a nation and a people, and the stories are told from a certain perspective. All histories have a bias of some sort. We can't escape that. So the God of the Old Testament is a distant God, a jealous God, sometimes a frightening God, a God without a human face. That kind of God is hard for us to identify with on a personal level. We simply have the rules as drawn up by him, and if we can't obey them, then we're out. But we have Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Really. For Jesus is God's human face. Jesus wept, Jesus laughed, Jesus ate and drank with his friends, Jesus told stories, and he got angry. He was hurt physically and emotionally, and he loved all the things that we do. Suddenly, here is a God that I can identify with. Suddenly, it's possible to follow this God. I can follow a man who healed cripples and blind people, who loved children and his friends, who treated all equally, who cared about the poor and the hungry, who loved to sit and talk and set the world to rights. I can easily follow this sort of a God. But He's not here anymore. Or is he? Of course he's here. We discovered that last week when we spoke about the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit was gifted to the church. Jesus knew his disciples didn't think they could carry on without him there to hold their hand. It was time for them to let go of the apron strings and grow up, to become independent, if you like. Something that, as most of us know, is easier said than done. We all need someone to be there for us, especially when things get difficult. Someone, as they say, who has our back. God knew the task those disciples had of taking Jesus' message to the world. He knew they wouldn't manage it on their own, that they would need a helper. Not a crutch, you understand, but a helper. Someone who could be there all the time, who would never leave, who couldn't be killed or imprisoned or taken away in any other way. And so he sent his Spirit to enliven the word and the bringers of the word, to comfort, to heal, to help, to take the place of his human face, and to allow that compassionate, loving God to be accessible to everybody. And so we have the Trinity, Creator, Son, and Spirit. The Trinity is God's family, God's community. God's community is bound together by the love that they share, the love that is their nature and that makes them one. We need all three. We need them, him, her. Who knows? We need the Holy Trinity. The God who is in charge, the macho God who puts his foot down when he has to and who will sort things out for us in the end. The Jesus God, the human God who understands when we act like idiots and hurt each other and do things that are just plain silly. We need the Holy Spirit God, the God who can be everywhere and who will never leave us, who is invisible, but who can be felt to be there in our darkest hours, and who can give us courage to do things we never thought we could. And they are all equal. How can it be otherwise? Each one is as important as the other. So there it is, the doctrine of the Trinity. One God in three persons, all equal, all different, but all the same. Simple. Okay, so have we any heretics in our midst? Stand up and be counted. Any Unitarians? Binitarians? Well, you know, that's the great thing about the modern church. We never tell you what to think. We just try to blind you with theology. The poet T.S. Eliot said, "You have no life if you do not have life in community." And so did John Donne, one of the so-called metaphysical poets, when he said, "No man is an island complete in itself. We are all linked, body and soul, a part of the world and a part of Christ's body, the church. We are his family, Father, Son and Spirit, bound together by love for all time." That is surely something to celebrate. We'll let St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, have the last word. From St. Patrick's breastplate and a well-known hymn, these words: "I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Son." Amen. Thank you. Our prayers for the world and its people today are delivered and written by Alice Goodman.
Let us pray. Forgotten people, injustice, systemic evil, no justice, no peace. Pour grace on us, Lord. Speak out what we see. Stand up. Open our hearts. Give us courage to enter other people's pain. Pour your light on us, Lord. Humanity on both sides, inflicting violence, passively looking away, keeping silent, damages our souls. We lose our humanity. Pour your resurrection power on us to act in defense of the defenseless. We pray for leaders of all countries at all levels to make decisions based on fairness to protect vulnerable people. Pray for the police. Pray for the perpetrators. Pray for the victims. Pray for those who hate and seek revenge. Pray for understanding. Pray for miracles. Pray for miracles of changed hearts. Pour your reconciliation and healing on us. Lord, hold those who grieve. Hold those who are lonely. Hold those who are sick. Hold those who are hungry. Hold those who have no paycheck. Hold those who feel lost. You are there. When our soul sighs, when our eyes are tear-filled, when our heart is overwhelmed with trouble, you are there. You who experienced hunger, abandonment, injustice, brutality, and death. You who stood with the vulnerable and outcasts and spoke out against evil systems. You are there. You loved the unlovable, forgave the unforgivable. You gave yourself up to show God's love for us as a forgiven people. In that power, we can learn to forgive. You who embody God's ultimate love and purpose for mankind, Christ, give us hope. Shine your light into the darkest parts of our human experience. Show us how to love. It is you, Christ Jesus, that we turn to for strength and rest. Recharge us, renew us, fill us, inspire us, guide us, our words, thoughts, actions, to reflect your love to a world that needs it so much. Amen.
And now we come to our offering prayer. Whether you're here with us in person or whether you are at home, we choose to dedicate ourselves and our offerings each week in prayer. Let us pray. Creator of all people, bless us and our gifts. Jesus, friend and guide, bless us and our gifts. Holy Spirit, helper, comforter, disturber, bless us and use us and all of our gifts to enliven, inspire, comfort and love a new society into being, a community in which all are equal, all are valued, all are loved, and let it be soon. Amen. Thank you. And now we come to our communion service. You should have in front of you some of the responses for this service. Please join in where it's indicated. And so all are invited. Come to this table to meet the living God, love indescribable and beyond our imaginings, yet closer than our own breathing. Come to this table to meet the risen Christ, flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, God with us, embodied in our living. Come to this table to meet the life-giving Spirit, interpreting our search for truth and justice, breathing into us renewing power. Come to find, to meet, to hold the living, loving God made new for us in bread and wine. And we say together, take us, O God, and remake us. Fill us with your love and your forgiveness, that our souls may be clean and new, that our thoughts may be for you and each other, and open our minds and hearts to the meaning and cost of commitment. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, for it is right to give him thanks and praise. We have here before us on our many tables bread and wine, fruits of the field and the vine. Jesus and his friends sat together at a table on the night that he was betrayed, and they ate and they drank together. And it was on that night that we remember him taking bread and wine and sharing it as his body and his blood. And so in our different places, apart but together, we will do as he did and ask God to bless these elements before us on the many tables in our many different homes. And we will do that in prayer. During the prayer, you'll be invited to join in with the Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's pray. Lord, we come with praise on our lips, thanksgiving in our hearts for this day, for the people we share this bread and wine with, for the message of the Trinity through which we can be together as one community, although separated. Lord, we know that you conceived the universe out of love. You wove it and knit us together. You see every tear we shed, witness every prayer we make. You know our best and our worst, and you will never let us go. You call us to follow you, you who with rain and sunshine moves and orders all that is. Creator of time itself, we thank you for this time. Time around this heavenly table, with the saints from long ago, the friends of our hearts, and with those unborn and yet to come. And so we praise you with the church throughout the world, Lutheran, Catholic, Reformed, Orthodox, and our brothers and sisters of other faiths. We praise you and pray for understanding and love, love and compassion that's born around this table, love that can withstand even death through Jesus Christ our Lord. We say together these words. Please join me. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, O blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. God beyond holiness, as we do what Jesus once did, let your Spirit move among us, to settle on our bread and our wine, that it may become for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And let that same Spirit stir our souls, that we may recognize our Lord as we share and follow him, and that he may be in us and we in him forever. Amen. And so together we remember that night. We remember that night when Jesus sat with his friends. We gather together too, to eat and to drink. Although we're separated in time and space, we are together through the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. We remember too that Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me by. After supper, he took the cup of wine and said, in this cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And now these are the gifts of God, shared for the people of God and for the life of the world. The bread of heaven is broken for each one of you. The blood of the Lamb is shed to grant us all peace. As we have shared together in this time, in bread and in wine, please share a sign of peace with those around you, or simply take a moment to offer the peace in quietness to all the people that you know. You could name them in this moment's quiet. And so now let us pray. Trinitarian God, you have fed us with your body and blood. You've renewed us in your fellowship with the wine of forgiveness. Fill us with the bread that revives souls as well as bodies. Grant us the wisdom and the compassion to share these signs of your kingdom with all, rich and poor, powerful and weak, young and old, the children of this world, in the name of the Holy Trinity, Creator, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is by a woman called Ruth Duck, and it's set to a tune from the 19th century known as Regent's Square, written unsurprisingly by an English gentleman called Henry Thomas Smart. Ruth Duck is an ordained minister of the United Church of Christ in the United States and was for many years a professor of theology. She championed the cause to make sure that hymns were devoid of sexist or racist language. Racism is something that we've been hearing a lot about in these last days, something that the Church of Scotland has spoken out against for many, many years and continues to do so. Here are the words to the second verse. You are called to teach the rhythm of the dance that never ends, then to move within the circle, hand in hand with strangers, friends. Christ be known in all our dancing, touching all, with hands of love. With the power of the Creator, loved in the power of the Son, and enfolded in the power of the Spirit, and the blessing of the Trinity of love be with you all this day and evermore. Amen.